Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
I have this friendly against Latvia, which is a little bit of a nothing game. I could be interested in that game now if it is the case that this is when Evan Ferguson starts, and maybe that's his chance.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
You should be the host here.
I'm really laughing at you.
We're both Munster people, diehard Munster people, and we want them to do well.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot. Hello and welcome along. I'm Alan Quinlan and you're listening to episode 55 of the Red 78 here on the Rugby Channel. And with me as always is Niamh Briggs. Very good weekend for you, Niamh. Congratulations. Saturday was rounded off a brilliant couple of weeks for you. You have a big smile on your face. You had a few drinks last night. You're trying to tell me that you had a quiet night and you let the players out.
Saturday night was definitely the players' night. It was brilliant. It was really cool. I thought, it was just a really good, brilliant few weeks in terms of what we tried to do and how we pushed our skills and pushed ourselves in terms of the tempo and the intensity and how we, I think we got better and better as the weeks went on and closer probably as a group. So I'm disappointed it's over, but delighted that we got to finish on a high.
And just sum up the last 3 weeks, what's it been like? You're trying to rebuild the team, a lot of new girls in the team. How good will this be for their confidence? And, was there consistency? Is there room to improve?
Oh, look, huge amount of room to improve. I think, we try and push things a bit like the men, to be fair. And I said it earlier on as well, the lads have been great in Costello and Mike Prendergast and Graham Rountree in terms of allowing me in to watch sessions and stuff. So you see what they're trying to do. And while we couldn't match that because we're obviously not professional and we had to try and do things in a very short space of time, when you're wanting to push things in terms of skills and intensity and trying to get ball to edges and stuff like that, it's never going to be perfect and there's going to be lots of mistakes. So I think my most proud thing, I think, with this group is that, they continue to try and do that even when, we had mistakes or it wasn't working. And we get a really good brand of rugby and we get an up-tempo and we look to move the ball to space as opposed to running into bodies. And I just thought they were really enjoying it and it showed because they loved coming training and there was a great buzz around the group.
Oh, brilliant. But
there's still definitely lots of room to improve.
Well, many of these girls now be putting their hand up, any new faces. I know you, because you're a selector on the Irish team and a coach, you can't start name checking, but would you be positive as a coach that some of these, there'll be some new faces in the Irish squad?
Yeah, 100%. There has to be, I think, in terms of where the game has gone from even this time 12 months ago. The women's game is just evolving so quickly. It's almost hard to keep up with it at times. There will be definitely new faces in and around, which is great. It's great for them. And it's a reward too for not just us, but I just thought there was lots of good rugby across the Interpros from all the other provinces. So, we'll see what happens over the next few weeks.
It was a good couple of weeks for you. Didn't start off great. It was City and Spurs the other night.
I know.
But anyway, Liverpool, Raging. Chelsea, draw.
I know.
Not great
United
either
losing
for me.
Arsenal.
Well, was that not good?
No, because I don't like it. As a Spurs fan, Also,
well, you feel about Arsenal like I feel about United. So Liverpool, United, Arsenal, Spurs. Yeah, so I get it now. Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's address what we saw yesterday in Toulouse. Toulouse 20, Munster 16. We probably didn't expect that. I think the start of the game was tough. As we probably would have expected, and there was a lot of concern and worry with Toulouse scoring early, the power, the aggression they showed early in the game. But Munster, and we'll obviously get a bit more in depth into it and see what the fans think in a minute, but lots of encouraging positive signs there. And I think if you look back, and we kind of looked at a couple of blocks, you know, this is the kind of second big block that we're going to look at. We're not going to go back in depth, but since Munster beat Connacht at the end of November, after the November internationals, they've played 9 games. They've won 6 out of 9. They've lost 3, 2 to Toulouse and 1 to Leinster. So they beat Connacht, they beat Edinburgh, they beat Northampton twice, they beat Ulster and they beat the Lions. So overall, I think it's been a positive spell. They're into the knockout stages and we will talk about that at the end. A very tough trip to South Africa. But as always, we want the fans to be involved. So I put out a tweet yesterday. We're a day early this week with the pod, but we'll strike while the iron is hot because loads of people loved a lot of what they saw yesterday. The ambition, the aggression, the work rate, the passion. Execution at times was could have been a little bit better. But the ambition to attack. So I think Munster have become a good team to watch now, and that's enthusing the fans. So what's the general feel there? You have some tweets. We have loads, but you can only pick a few.
I'll just pick a few there, and I agree 100%. There's been lots of positive feedback. John Dewey once said it was a great effort. New skills come under significant pressure, hence the errors in the first 40. As the game progressed, so did players' confidence, resulting in a brilliant try. Huge growth displayed all over the team. Vastly improved fitness and playing a huge part in execution. Tom Lundgren, gritty performance for the last 3 quarters. Confidence and with it, skills continue to grow. 2 very soft misses from the tee cost us, as it did versus Leinster and as it did against Ulster in October. Those missed points are not just lost points. They're confidence and belief boosters when good. Tom O'Mahony, comedy. I think he might be from your.
He is. He's a tip man. Yeah.
Naked. Yeah, because there'll be pictures of John Hodnett on mantelpieces all over the province. you have a little love affair with him. John Klein got through. Yeah, he was super. John Klein got through 3 games worth of work. The French camera replays were shocking. For example, Joey's near decapitation. I reckon we would have taken it only for that very strange yellow card. And we'll obviously talk about the referee decisions in relation to that afterwards. Helen Nicklose, that was a red on Joey in the first half. Love how we are playing. Next season we will be motoring. Liam Sheehan, gutsy performance by Munster with the contender for try of the year. Dekotoa looked great. Carberry looks like a player low in confidence. I can't understand how Munster let John Ryan go. Some fella was trying to through his stomach is his Twitter handle. Had more joy in watching Niamh Riggs' team play. But to be honest, there is good progress on the men's side, thank goodness. But today is a reminder of where we are. Thought that was interesting.
But just a reminder of where we are. We know that.
Yeah.
Everybody 100%. Knows that. So like this kind of and look, we're trying to get balance here throughout throughout this season. We've said it many times. Munster are short a couple of players. They're short some more depth. To win a European Cup or to win the URC now the way it is, you need a stacked bench as well. And you need guys, quality players who are not even making the 23. That's what wins you trophies. It's a long season.
Yeah, yeah.
The game is pretty physical. So the reality check, I don't think there's any reality check there. We know that. I think we've seen that and spoken about it. I think most of the Munster fans know that. And that's where you talk about expectation and pressure and what you expect the team. So I don't think it's a reality check that how good this team can be if they get better and they get some more players in and stretch that depth chart. So Look, I think you were always going to read out the tweet anyway before, and with the mentioning your team is better watching your team, but you love that one. But no, I think, you know, the reality, that's what I'm saying, just that's the reality where Munster are at. We're a bit short, but they're on the right track, and we've asked that question a few times.
We've already said that we know that we're not stupid in terms of they are a little bit short, but I actually think we're now starting to get to a point where players are maximising potential. And I think that's probably been a huge issue for me.
They haven't maximised it yet, but they're on the way increased, to. They've increased it. I think some of the decision making can be a little bit better in pressurised situations, but look, lots of improvements there. Go ahead.
Neil Chadwick, I thought we would really struggle in the opening exchanges, but played some really good stuff once we settled. Winning 16-9 after going 11-0 down isn't too bad. To a man, lads really fronted up and gave their all. The second try was absolutely brilliant. We are probably 2-3 top players short of winning something. We're absolutely on the right road. Long may it continue. It was also great to see and hear so many Munster fans at the game. I was at the game and it felt like Comer Park at times. Long may that continue too. Michael Hennessy, too many dropped passes and a few silly penalties. What's up with Joey? Should Ireland have had a red card? Amazing heart and never gave up. Talk to me about the Ireland. Do you think it was a card?
Well, we don't want to go off track too much here because I was going to talk about that. Obviously, my initial reaction on Richie Arnold's tackle on Joey Carberry was that needs to be looked at. So Joey Carberry didn't stay down injured, which there is some indication to say that he didn't get hit in the neck or in the face, that it was top of the chest. Joey Carberry got back up. So in Richie Arnold's defence, that works in his favour, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think we have to be careful here because emotionally I was like, that needs to be looked at. That needs to be looked at. But it possibly was looked at by Rowan Kitt. We don't know. So we don't know if he looked at the replays himself and thought there's nothing in that. I was surprised that Peter O'Mahony didn't put a bit of pressure to look at the tackle. Obviously, if Joey Carberry is down injured, it's a different scenario and there's a time there and there's a question to be asked. But we haven't seen enough of angles, Niamh.
That's my big thing, yeah.
We haven't seen enough angles here and where the contact is. Now, if I was Hugo Mola, Richie Arnold's coach, I'd be telling him, Jesus, be careful here. There's only an inch or two here in that being a red card situation. I know he's trying to get a big hit. He's 6'10", but he's shooting out of the line and he's doesn't have a lot of control. I don't know even if there's an arm wrap. So has he been cited? Yes. No, I don't see anything anywhere that he's been cited. So we don't know. If he's not cited, they've obviously looked at it and deemed it's fine. So, you know, we can have a cut off the referee and you know, question these things and particularly the TMO. It's not Carl Dixon, it's the TMO.
I was just wondering what you thought about it because I was interested and I think you make a great point that if he gets getting back up and he's not injured, then you'd more than likely on the law of average.
Well, I think high.
And it's I hate seeing players, and you just said it there a couple of minutes ago, like not in control. That's my big fear about those kind of tackles. He's just flying off his feet, and he's literally I just feel like he's not in control, and there's a degree of recklessness there. So, irrelevant of whether it's high, you know, that's just an issue. I just don't like it.
Yeah, and we may hear something else from it later today. But I'm just, again, you would assume that Rowan Kitt can get TV angles here and see it in the truck. Okay, we're not getting it from the French directors, seeing the replays, but they were pretty quick to show Ben Healy's one over and over. And in fairness, I think Rowan Kitt was trying to indicate that it should have been just a penalty, not a yellow card for Ben Healy. And it was a significant moment in the game.
Yeah.
But not in control there.
Yeah, that was kind of my thing as well. Just a couple of more tweets. So Dave McAuliffe thought the scrum was excellent. First 20 minutes, I thought we'd be battered. I don't think I've seen a sequence of worse kicks to goal than Joey today. Even the one that went over was a wobbler. Shane Kiley was chatting about a great performance by Munster. We were really on the way back. Loved the game we are playing at the moment. Ref was poor, I thought. Missed a few things, and the French TV has a lot to answer for. And this needs to be taken out of our hands, as it's totally biased, as proven by the hit on Joey.
Could I just say, you know, the whole Razzie Erasmus rant and the rant that fans give and online stuff nowadays. And look, I can be guilty of it myself. We need some clarification this. So what I would love here after this match is for somebody to come out, Joel Juge, the head of referees, to come out, or somebody make a statement, EPCR, to say, look, this tackle was looked at. Rowan Kidd made the correct decision. Nothing to answer for here for Richie Arnold. It just takes away then the backbiting and the shouting and the bawling online. And it also protects the referees. Now, Carl Dixon had a big mistake the week before in the Owen Farrell tackle against Gloucester. There was a mix up there with the TMO. So it can happen that they get it wrong and they miss stuff. But I'd love for somebody to clarify this. And then all the Munster fans and people who are giving out and questioning that tackle, including myself, would say, hands up, we're wrong. TMO was right. Correct decision. But silence doesn't help this situation. So yeah. you know, Razzie obviously went to the extreme of frustration at certain decisions. You're always going to get 50-50 calls and different things that are wrong when you look back at it. And I thought there was a good few yesterday that went against Munster. A couple maybe that it got benefited from, but there was some decisions that were quite critical in that game that went against them. But I wouldn't be giving out about Carl Dixon saying he cost him the game. Yes, some of them could have went his way, but I'd love if there was some sort of clarification about the Richie Arnold one publicly, and then it stops people.
Yeah, great point. I'll just go on for Shane's tweet there. He said that we're evolving very nicely. One little criticism I do have was our restarts. We seemed to kick long on a number of occasions straight to Dupont, and he boomed a big kick back down the field. When we did kick to compete, we did so excellently. Keep up that great work. And I get that 100%. Something I had thought myself in terms of the
kickoffs to me are a bugbear if there's not hang time in them. So if they're long, there still needs to be hang time. If you're kicking directly down quickly and it's flying through the air, because I would have chased kickoffs all the time as a back row forward, and it would have been, I'm not saying one of my strengths, but something I was pretty okay at, challenging for those kickoffs, sprinting up, trying to get in the air and trying to tap it back onto my side. So I often give out to Rog about restarts and kicks, you know, and it's a tough skill. You need a good pitch, you need it, and all that kind of stuff. But some of our restarts, yes, too long. Too much time.
And
that's a tactical thing. When Healy put one up, it was phenomenal. Time. And what happens? Calvin Nash catches it. He can compete in the air. And it's long as well. So, yes, there are tactical things that can be better, for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Just a couple more tweets. So, Joe, really proud of this performance. To lose Healy on top of the injuries going into the game made an extremely difficult task all the more difficult. Ben's yellow card a turning point, and Joey's missed kicks crucial in a really tight game. Pat McDade, after a whirlwind start from Toulouse on home side with a packed house behind them, this would have been a humiliating loss a year or two ago. Team showed character to hang in there, and just unfortunately didn't have the same level of quality to finish the job. Big strides being made. Alan O'Flynn, Munster could have won. Well done to all involved. Big comparison between this game and last game of last season. Standout moment for me, besides mentioning the two tries, was the Healy restart. Munster were frustrating to watch. Some small things may have changed the game because they had the team of players to win big games. For example, first line out, went to tail. It's the first one. Let your hooker gain confidence. Go safer on the number one. He has a lot of grammatical errors there. I get what he's saying in relation.
Hit the front of the line out. Keep it simple early on.
Keep it simple. And
there's an argument that he's right in saying that. We got to move on. There's lots of tweets there. And I think We'll talk just about the tactical stuff. There is some mentions in a lot of the tweets. And look, thanks to everyone for tweeting again. It's impossible to read them all out. It just goes to show that people want to engage. They want to give their opinion. We'll try and keep that going. It's been very successful. And we want to hear from the fans. We want to feel... We want to know how you feel and what the mood is like in the camp. And I think that's very important because you're very vital to the whole organisation going forward and the team. The positives and negatives, something we do kind of every week. So for me, do you know what? You tell me your positives and I'll tell you the negatives.
I thought there was so many positives. I thought that... like lots of people that were tweeting that in the first 20 minutes, I was infuriated by the lack of accuracy and the execution. It was driving me insane. I felt like we weren't getting off the line quick enough. We were affording to lose a huge amount of time in relation to the ball carry, and therefore we were putting ourselves under pressure all the time. And then when we had the ball, I felt that we weren't accurate enough and we had separation from the ball carrier to ground, and therefore we were allowing players like Marshawn to come in and literally turn the ball over. In saying that, once we got over that hump of that 20-minute mark, Tyke Byrne comes up with an unbelievable hit, and Gavin Coombs does as well. It's almost like then all of a sudden we've like, oh, we can actually match these physically. We can actually move the ball around. I thought their ability to move the ball to edges was brilliant. And I feel like if they had been a little bit more accurate, a small bit more, where they didn't have to check behind them for passes, they could have got a huge amount of yardage lots of times. I thought that, to be fair, I thought that Joey kicked quite well from hand in terms of that. I thought he controlled the game in lots of good parts. We were just kind of missing... we were missing a bit of a detail in our shape. But once we kind of got that together and we started to move the ball away from those big bodies right beside the ruck, I felt like that we were more than a match for them.
Yeah, I agreed. It's for people who are a bit critical at the start, and maybe it's it was tough at the start. I spoke to you last night, and initially you seemed a bit frustrated, and I think that's the standard you want. You don't want the players being happy here afterwards and coaches patting each other on the back and saying, that's brilliant. They lost the game. There's mistakes. There's errors. The start of the game is something they need to learn from. From my experience going to France, it can be chaotic sometimes. The crowd are on top of you. One or two little mistakes early on can snowball. You're playing against a team here with so many internationals, so much power. Mafu in the second row, Arnold, Jalonch, Jack Willis, probably playing for England, Rouma, the number eight. There's so much power. Cyril Bai, Marchand. These guys are all going to play for France, a lot of them. They're top quality internationals. And you just look at the power off the bench as well. So for Munster to cope with that and the game not to run right away from them, I think was impressive.
Oh, completely agree.
They were under so much pressure. The line speed from Toulouse was very, very, very quick. So I think, again, we say earlier in the season, this game would have got away from Munster. They would have been hammered. And remember, someone mentioned then, well, both teams are qualified. It's just jockeying for positions. Toulouse are trying to win this to get top seed, to have a home round 16 quarterfinal, semifinal as well. So there was so much on the line for them. Munster maybe a little bit less pressure because they were qualified. The expectation isn't as big and they throw caution to the wind a little bit. And I was confident that they'd go on attack and they could get some return from it. So for me, the positives were the attitude, the drive, the desire, the work rate. The work rate is one of the things that I'm loving about this team. They're making a tackle. They're back on their feet. They're making another one. There's bodies moving all the time.
The double efforts, yeah.
The last couple of seasons, Niamh, I continuously saw guys standing, walking, not really any sort of shape. So Prendy is obviously putting huge pressure on them to move quick, get your little break when you get to your position to be in a position to attack. Get there quick, get organised, keep tempo to the game. And So yeah, all the coaches. I mentioned Prendy there because he's the attack. So the work rate is brilliant. It's really and the reaction after the poor start. I thought the scrum was a big positive, even though we got penalised in one scrum at the end, which I thought was harsh because Conor Murray got the pass away just as the referee's blowing the whistle. But I thought, you know, to drive Toulouse off a scrum at one stage and John Ryan to put, you know, to get the upper hand on Cyril Boy and Niall Scannell, who I thought had a brilliant game as well. That was incredible. They're moments that you can grow from. So very, very difficult. The negatives, okay, we have to look at them. Some of the ball handling, maybe a little bit of accuracy there. I think the turnovers conceded are 16, and that's too high.
I thought they were really smart, though, on how they attacked the breakdown, Quinny. I thought Jack Wills was absolutely phenomenal in terms of they're allowing the ball carrier almost take a step or two, a meter or two after the contact, so that there is that separation because they're pushing their bodies in and around it. So as the ball carrier goes through, like the next Toulouse player is literally getting into that space between the poor players because there is separation and the ball carrier. And therefore, and just as they looked about to go, they just jump out of the way and all of a sudden it's allowed somebody else to come in and try and get a poach. That's really, really smart because they got a huge amount of turnovers from it. Now, I would question some of them in relation to clear releases, but...
Yeah, there was no clear release for Julian Marchand on John Ryan's carry.
But the fact that they were able to get into those spaces in and around that ball carry and kind of cut off the So Munster do this thing where they literally look to barrel players out of the way. So they're this, you know, it's in terms of trying to clear the ball or clear players past the ball. If you can get into the space before the ball carrier goes to ground, then you're stopping the momentum of the clear out.
Yeah.
And therefore you're giving opportunity. Yeah, I thought they were smart.
Marchand got three or four turnovers. Outstanding. He's world class at that. The one on John Ryan just before halftime, no clear release there, and he got rewarded for it. So again, split
but it's the
hairs.
Pictures are painting.
It's splitting hairs. They're very strong at the break. And I think again, you know, the concedes the 16 turnovers is too much. It's just too much. So their areas they need to get better at. They'll look at that. Missed tackles 20, a little bit too high again. It's down from last week. They missed 31 against Northampton when the game went chaotic and they were down a man. But again, I'll reiterate the point. I know this from personal experience. That is an incredibly hard place to go and play. You're under so much pressure and they're a team that can potentially win this competition. So much depth, so much power. So you're going to have mistakes. But just on the negatives, I wrote down here, turnovers, the mistakes, just some simple ones and protecting the ball a little bit more. Lots of positives. They lost one line out, one scrum penalised in. That was my biggest fear, the scrum. We saw what happened in the Aviva in May where the scrum cost us the game, I think. We drew 24 all and lost them penalty kicks. So really positive, lots of positives there. I think Niall Scannell, Dave Kilcoyne coming back in there, he had a big game. He's a point to prove. He's back in that Irish squad. John Ryan is obviously leaving to New Zealand, but small little rumour and a whisper, and I'm not going to say this for definite because I can't say it for definite that he could be coming back in September. That he's gone for a number of months there for Super Rugby and he will come back to Munster. So it mightn't be all bad news, but we'll have to deal with it without him for. But I think the other props need to grow as well. Josh Witcherly, Roman Salanoa, Keenan Knox.
Roman Salanoa is a huge. Yeah.
They have a lot of room for growth and they learn a lot from this year as well. So it's not all bad. Okay, let's move on. We're rambling a little bit here. I know Star of the Week is something that we do every week and we haven't even spoke. We might have a quick mention about the Irish squad in the end, but Star of the Week for Munster. I have no idea. I'm like thinking there's so many players here have big games. They're disappointed and we're not trying to patronise anyone here. Munster lost the game, but I just thought the effort level out of the pairs. And a lot of these players have been going hard now for 7, 8, 9 weeks. For me, it was Tyburn. I just thought his involvements, his tackles, his carries, lineup wins, work rate, the try he scores. He got an incredible turnover at the end and then tried to kick it and kicked it off Roman Salanoa's back, I think.
O'Mahony got the turnover and passed it out.
O'Mahony got the turnover. It was a brilliant turnover. Peter O'Mahony was outstanding as well.
Incredible. Gavin Coombs. I actually thought Jack Crowley was excellent.
Right across the board.
Anton Frisch,
defensively, doesn't bite down. He has the speed and the awareness just to shift on the off defenders. And
I thought Fekitoa, let's just talk about this for a second. I actually thought Fekitoa, we got to see the best of Malachi Fekitoa yesterday. Losing Mike Ailey was obviously huge. He's been such an integral part to this group and how well Munster have been playing over the last number of weeks. But I actually thought Fekitoa was excellent. I thought
he was brilliant. And I think it's brilliant for him. And I'm happy for him because I think he needs to realise what's required here, the multiple efforts, the backup efforts that Mike Prendergast is trying to implement in the attack, the work rate, shape. It isn't about kind of running out over people and having a rest and having a break. It's all about fitness, pace, tempo. All the coaches are trying to do that. And I think he came on yesterday, had so many big moments in the game. And he stepped up. He didn't hide. He didn't stand off. He wanted the ball. And that was brilliant. The offload to start for Tyburn's try was incredible. It was a wonderful try. It was a great score. And I think it's brilliant that Fekitoa is back and showed us what he can do. He's got to back it up now. They've got to go to Benetton next week. And this is the real thing now that mentally for these players, they will get a surge from that. But they've got to kind of wind themselves up again here and go again now for this.
That try from Tyburn should be played on loop throughout the High Performance Centre for the week, because that is exactly, from a coaching point of view, is, you know, in terms of showing players, this is why we're training like this. This is why we're doing this. This is why we're putting you under this
pressure. Do you know what it's about, Niamh, as well? It's about anticipation. If somebody makes a little snipe, you've got to react and be on the shoulder. Yeah. Craig Casey did brilliantly after stumbling over to get the pass to Shane Daly. He sets it up, Klein carries, and then they're narrow. Okay, it could have went through the hands. And Ugo Mola said that, or Ugo Monya said that in commentary on BT, but it was brilliant. I think the John Hodnett try in the first half, I was shouting at the television to say, just pop it out a little bit. There was space in that blind side there. And where they went then, that's where the try was on, and they did it. Mm. So look, lots of positive. We're going to give it to Tyburn. I think he was outstanding. But honourable mentions for everybody. I think the board, it was big performance from everyone. I think there's some stuff on about Joey Carberry. Again, he came off. I thought he did some very good stuff. Very surprised with the kicks. People are a bit baffled. Even the kick he got, was it something to do with the tackles he got? Because he got a couple of them, even for the crossfield kick for Tyburn's try. So he got a couple of heavy knocks. And it's a concern. It's a tough one for him. It's been a tough week for him.
It has. And we just need to be minded now a small bit in terms of confidence. And the funny thing is that I actually thought he was playing quite well. I was really surprised that he wasn't.
I just love for him to run more to the line a bit more. He's just still a little bit short taking it right. You know, Munster hit up midfield, they come back to blindside. There's a bit of space to run, take it to the line a little bit more.
Yeah.
But their attack was very good yesterday. He was an integral part of that. And they stretched Toulouse a lot. So before yesterday's game, nobody had made a clean line break against Toulouse in the first three games. So Munster made four yesterday. So there's lots of indicators there from the stats. 13 defenders beaten, 4 clean line breaks, 8 offloads. I mentioned the 16 turnovers conceded, but 16 turnovers won as well. So, and Munster only kicked the ball. So this is something for the listeners to be really aware of. 17 times in that game. So if we were back last year, the year before, how many times would we kicked it? Mid to late 20s, more probably. They're trying to play here. And that's the encouraging part. Nobody wants to see him lose if they're a Munster fan, obviously. And they did lose the game. But I think they asked a lot of questions of a very, very powerful squad. So the star of the week is Tyburn. Are we agreed on that? Are you happy with that?
Yes. Or, yes.
Gavin Coombs, brilliant again, as you mentioned. And like the rest of them, John Hodnett, so many big moments. And somebody mentioned in the tweets, and John Klein, it's just the honesty and the work rate. I just love to see it. And it's absolutely brilliant out of him. So round 16, a nice handy one away to the Sharks. We were all waiting with bated breath yesterday. It couldn't be any more disrupting for them, given that it's going to be on the 31st, the 1st, or the 2nd, that weekend, the end of March, basically, they go to South Africa. If they win, if they were to win that game, they would then travel to Toulouse the weekend after. And then they've got to go back to South Africa for two URC games. So that's an incredibly kind of...
If they win, they end up playing Toulouse again.
Toulouse away. If they win...
How is that?
Because Toulouse are going to be... They're seeded second. So they have a home round 16 and home quarterfinal. So, So imagine you go to Sharks in South Africa and you end up having to go away again. It's tough. But it's about the pool stages and winning matches and getting right up in the top two. Leinster will be going all the way to the final if they keep winning at home.
La Rochelle
will obviously have to leave if they get to a final, but they're home for round 16 quarter and semi-final if they win. So, yeah, they go to Toulouse. The Sharks in the competition so far, they beat the Harlequins 39-31 in round one. They won 19-16 away against Bordeaux. They beat Bordeaux 32-3 at home in round three, and then they lost the Quins at the weekend, 39-29. It's going to be a tough one when you think of the quality they have and the players, Etzebeth, Mapimpi, Umbanambi, Khaleesi. There's so many.
Lucanuam,
you could name them, the scrum half, Hendrixa, Jaden Hendrixa, they've loads of top quality players and they'll end up playing them a couple of weeks. So it's a really tough game for them, but, you know, it is what it is. They've got to digest that and they're in the knockout stages and that was really important for them. So it's going to be a tough ask the last weekend of March. At the weekend, Benetton, what do you expect and what do they need to do? You know, I mentioned it mentally there. This is incredibly important, this game. Benetton are in sixth, ahead of them. Munster in seventh. Munster on 32 points, Benetton on 33.
All international players will not be available, I'd imagine, this weekend from both sides because they'll go into Six Nations camp. This from today, isn't it? So I do think that from Munster point of view, players will be afforded more opportunities, and knowing that they have a couple of games over this block where they're going to get opportunities, and we've seen it already, irrelevant of who you are, how many caps, your age, experience, if you rock up, you train well, you play well, you play. And I think that's a really good message from Graham Rowntree and his coaching staff. And I just think that if you go, this is an opportunity, like lads will be looking at this little window saying, if we can go and play well, and then I hold on to the jersey until next time. I just think that's a really good incentive.
For sure. It's a tough one. It's away from home and they certainly won't get anything easy. I think they're going to miss probably more internationals than Munster will, but it's a must-win game. I think that we've mentioned it. It's Benetton and then they play Ospreys at home on the 17th of February. Then they're home to Scarlets in round 15. In round 16, they're home to Glasgow in March. So I think these four games will determine whether Munster in the URC playoffs in Europe next year. So I think they're four must-win games. They're going to be difficult and they're going to be challenging because then in April, they go to South Africa and they're going to be very hard against the Sharks and the Stormers away from home. So these are games Munster have to win. They've got to go to Benetton and try and get a result at the weekend. Hopefully, they're not too bruised and battered and they can pick themselves up and, you know, take the positives out of what happened at the weekend. Yeah. Two wins, two losses in the pool stages. But, you know, I think And it hasn't been perfect. I think we want, it's probably, before we finish, it's probably important to reiterate this point. This hasn't been perfect, but it's been encouraging. We've seen progress. There's plenty of mistakes, things they can work on. Just look at Leinster at the moment. You know, people try, you know, there's critics there of their performance at the weekend in the first half, their scrum, certain things in their game that, you know, they weren't good at in that first half. But so the best teams make mistakes, and the Munster are still evolving and growing, but I think it's so much more encouraging. And I think the fans are happy. We hear that. We hear it every week, and that's all they want. They want to see that fight. They want to see that desire and that passion. So that's it for episode 55 of the Red 78. As ever, tweet us, send us messages. We'll be analysing the Benetton game as well at the weekend. So get involved. Send us a tweet. I'll put out a tweet early next week. And again, thanks for joining us again, Niamh, and well done. It was a fantastic win for you, fantastic couple of weeks, and hopefully Munster can get a win in Italy.
Thanks a million, Quinny.
The Munster Rugby Podcast, Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Nobody knows Munster Rugby better.